Well, you were just out of luck pulling. And I wasn't big enough to... It was a big ballpark, 352 feet down the line. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't... The balls that I'd hit up on this fence here in Philadelphia, see, it was 330 in Shy Park, you know, 329.
Yeah.
Well, they catch them there, you know.
I see.
It was just a little too far for me. So I didn't hit for a good average, except that last year when I was out there.
When you just 45, tried to
and I just laid the bait.
Yeah.
All spring, I practiced going the other way at the ball.
Uh-huh.
And so I had a good year. I could have led a league if I hadn't just run out of gas. We played 40-something doubleheaders that year.
Oh, really?
45, yeah.
Oh, so you were doubling up.
Well, no, we were rained out. The first month, we only played 7 ball games, I think.
Oh, really? No kidding.
It rained for weeks out in Chicago.
Yeah.
And we had so many doubleheaders piled. And the last month, I was just so tired I couldn't swing the bat anymore. Cuccinella and myself and Sternweiss, and there was somebody else. We were all over 300 up until the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And then Cuccinella got beat out by part of a percentage point.
By Sternweiss,
by Sternweiss, yeah.
I see.
Cuccinella and I got to be real good friends while he was over there playing.
Well, tell me about Tony. What kind of a fellow was he?
Tony's a nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
Very enthusiastic.
Mm-hmm.
Good ball player. Good, I mean, and a good sound, smart ball player, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good, he was a coach on the Detroit Tigers when we won the World Championship. Mm-hmm. Both of us. Uh-huh.
This is 68.
Yeah, he came from Chicago where, you know, when Lopez quit. And then he was there 67 and 68. We finished second in 67. And then at the end of 68, Tony quit.
I see.
He liked to play golf, so he lived right across the street from Lopez, so they'd play a lot of golf.
Where are they both now?
In Tampa.
Oh, they're in Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
I see Lopez is there.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. What kind of a fellow was Luke Gatling?
He was a nut.
Was he really?
Yeah.
I mean, a wacky guy? Or?
Well, yeah. He's liable to do anything.
You're both from Georgia, aren't
yeah.
you?
Yeah. Yeah, I've known Luke, well, since 1935.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a guy that he'd talk to you, he's always punching you and talk to you, you know, and he'd needle everybody. Well, I never played any golf in it, but we had Mondays off out there.
Mm-hmm.
And this fellow that owned this golf club or was a pro or whatever it was, he's a good friend of Dykes's.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Dykes loves golf, you know. So on Mondays, the whole families go out there, wives and kids and everything. And some of the wives would play with them. So Luke, he's a kind of, he gets on your nerves, you know.
Yeah.
So he's trying to help his wife, you know. And you could see, her name is Faith. All the girls loved her. She was a character. And he was getting on Faith's nerves. So she just picked her club up and put them in her bag and took off. And the last we saw, Luke was following. Hey, wait, Faith, he was following behind.
No kidding,
yeah.
Really? That's great. Of course, I know he was a great ball player. What was
real
his,
good hitter, great arm.
Yeah, I was going to ask mm-hmm. you about that. Good hitter,
and he was a good fielder. He good base runner. Real, he could do it all.
Mm-hmm.
And strong. He was really strong. He had powerful legs. You know, I think that's the reason he lasted so long. He played 20-odd years, I guess.
I see.
He came close to getting 3,000 hits, didn't he?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Was he a team leader? I mean, I know he played shortstop for 20 years. Was he more or less the captain of the club or the leader of the club?
No, we didn't have captains of the base.
I see. So in other words, there wasn't one acknowledged leader on that ball club.
No.
And Dykes was manager.
Yeah.
And he ran the show. And
yeah.
I see.
But Applin was, he was kind of like Williams. I think he could hit just as much as he wanted to. You know. Oh, he did. One thing he could really do was foul that ball off.
Oh, could he?
I'll tell you a story about that. I'll tell you a story,
a
good story on that. He went up to the office and wanted a dozen new balls, you know, to give to his friends, you know, to autograph. And they wouldn't give them to him. And it made him mad.
Uh-huh.
And I think he that game he fouled off 27 balls.
Holy smokes.
And finally the general manager would come down and beg him to take a dud. He was really losing the ball.
Yeah.
He could foul a ball off every time, every pitch.
No kidding.
Yes, sir. He was. Ashburn was good at that. Richie Ashburn's good at that.
Right.
These guys are what we call inside-out hitters.
Yeah.
They can foul the ball off all day. That's the reason I think Mike Anderson's going to be a good hitter. He's an inside-out hitter. What happened to him last year, he got trying to pull, and he was an outside-in hitter. Oh, and that's he started striking out, and that's the reason he looks so bad. But now he looked this winter down there in the winter league. He tore the end. They let him rest a while because he was a little mentally upset. He was worried, you know.
Okay.
And I went down there, and we had a meeting in the latter part of September.
Mm-hmm.
And they started letting him play then. He was swinging the bat good. He looked like himself again.
Good. I believe that you played alongside Thurman Tucker in that place.
Yeah, right. Thurman with us. I know he met him early. He was, he could run.
Mm-hmm.
And Thurman and Luke Gaplin and myself and Don Colloway,
mm-hmm.
at one time we all had over 20 stolen bases.
Oh, really?
We did a lot of running.
Had a lot of people running.
Well, I'm sure in 1943, if I hadn't pulled my groin, I'd have led the league. Because when I got hurt, I was four ahead of George Casey. And this was in September.
Mm-hmm.
And right here in Philadelphia, the field was a little wet, and I hit a double down the right field line. I slipped when I rounded first base, and I pulled my groin real bad.
Mm-hmm. So you may have won the base stealing title that year.
Huh?
You may have won the base stealing
title. I would have, because when we left here and went into Washington, I was four ahead of him at the time.
I see.
But I couldn't run anymore the rest of the year. He wound up with 62 or 3 or something.
61, I think.
61?
Yeah, that was his highest.
Well, I set the new White Sox record, 56. Eddie Collins had it 52, I think, way back in 1917. And then Aparicio tied it in 1959.
I see. Boy.
But I never run bases until I went out in Dykes. And I got the knack of it. Joe Kuehl helped me with a little. He was a smart baseball man, Joe Kuehl.
Tell me about Joe.
And we roomed together. And he was some kind of magician, too, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he belonged to Magician's Union.
I see.
And we'd go in a place after a game, have some beers, and pull. We had some signals on card tricks. He said, let Wallace see the card, you know. He said, and I'll tell you what it is. I said, all I got to do is look at it.
Up,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah. But he broke his leg, and he was out about 1 year, I think. And when he was in the hospital is when he got interested in all this stuff and started learning all those magician tricks.
Oh,
he had some. Yeah, he had some good ones.
I see.
Yeah, he was he'd have made a good coach. He went to Washington. He went back to Washington. He'd been in Washington before, and Mr. Griffith made him manager.
Right, after the war.
But
yeah,
he didn't. He
when
didn't,
Mickey Vernon went into service,
yeah,
he came over to Washington,
yeah,
to play first base.
But he didn't do too well. But he had a keen baseball man,
mm-hmm.
and he was a good teacher. Well, I mean, like stealing bases, he helped me immensely.
Mm-hmm.
He had some things on pitchers, you know, that he told me about. You could just, the catcher couldn't throw you out.
Do you have any other interesting stories about the Warriors or any of the White Sox? I'll let you pick the players. I don't want to.
You see, Thornton Lee was there.
Yeah, Bill Dietrich was there.
Bill Dietrich. Yeah, Bill Dietrich was there.
The A's too.
Yeah. Bill never did. Skeeter Dickey was there.
Mm-hmm.
But he went into service in 43 right afterwards.
I understand Dietrich was acted a bit wacky at times.
Yeah.
I mean, was he just an odd duck? Or,
he was a little bit peculiar.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he was.
He's sick now. I know he's here in Philadelphia, and his wife said that he really wasn't up to having me come down for interview. So
when he quit playing, nobody ever saw him anymore.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he never comes around, never did come around anything anymore.
I see.
I don't think Bill really liked baseball, you know.
Oh, really?
Really, I don't believe he did.
I see. How about, Johnny Rigney? You know, he married into the Comiskey family.
That's right, that's right. He married a daughter. Uh-huh. Well, he's still out in Chicago, out there in the suburbs, yeah. He's doing real well.
Dyke said that he hurt his arm in the service and wasn't able
to do it before. Yeah, that's right. He was a pretty good pitcher, too. Before war came along, they had some pretty good pitching. Thornton Lee,
mm-hmm.
Ted Lyons,
yeah,
and Johnny Humphreys looked like he was coming.
What kind of guy was Humphreys?
He was Just the normal guy, yeah. Mm-hmm. I know he is. He's from New Orleans, We had a guy named Dickshot. He was a card during the war.
Johnny Dickshot. Sure, tell me about
he was
that.
A pistol. I think he hit over 300 that year, too, right at it in 45.
Looked like Joey Brown. We always called him Joey Brown.
And we've been talking about it, Tucker. Dickshot had one tooth out in front, and he wouldn't have it put in for nothing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He had that. He's one of the few that you snuff.
Oh.
Had snuff under his bottom lip all the time.
No kidding.
And who
How
else?
About Guy Cartwright?
Guy Cartwright. Carnett. We had a boy named Carnett.
Yeah.
He later became a pitcher.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about the awfully nice family that lived in North Carolina, and he died, you know, when he went to work for the Yankees? You know, we went down to see him, and he was in the hospital.
Dick Culler, he wasn't there. Dick Culler was on the East. He went to Mexico City with us. He played with the Braves.
He was there in 43 with the White Sox.
No, that's not the couple I'm talking about.
Dick Culler. He played for the Braves.
Was he there in 43 with us?
Yeah, there was an article on the Bellotta ball.
Don't you remember Judy's birthday?
Yeah, Paul wouldn't.
Don't you remember Judy's birthday card?
They weren't even school age yet. They were 3 or 4 years old.
Oh, no. Some of them were older.
Well, the Lee's boy was a little older.
He was the oldest.
He was
oldest. 12.
Yeah.
And the youngest was Skeeter Webb's little girl.
Yeah.
Baby, but we had
That's
right.
That
party.
It got so bad, that ball was so bad, it got where I don't care how. A guy like myself, a Thurman Tucker, couldn't score from second base on a base hit.
The Bellotta ball.
Because the outfielders came in so close.
Well, apparently it was in use for only a couple of months. And
that's
then
all, yeah.
To
mm-hmm.
a
that's
ball.
All. Now, well, you can look at those averages in 1943.
And they're
see?
Low.
Yeah. Now, you couldn't hit a ball through the infield even. You know, every time you hit it would go flat.
Uh-huh.
Just no good.
Now, Bobby Doerr and Lum Harris
mm-hmm.
say that regardless of the Bellotta ball for those few months in 43,
yeah.
in their opinion, the ball got progressively deader as the war went on. But Harris said it would turn green during the course of the game because the hides weren't cured right.
And the hides weren't good, and neither was the rubber, you know. And as far as that's concerned, the wool and the twine, you know, wasn't as good. It was of inferior quality, I guess, you know.
Well, do you agree with him? Do you think that right up until the end of the war, the ball was...
Well,
poor?
Yeah, but it wasn't as bad as it was that couple of months. It didn't go flat anymore like that, you know.
I see.
Now, it would travel a little better, I think. I saw Bobby Doerr last summer.
Oh, did you?
See, I went out to Eugene. The Phillies have a club out there, and I was out there for about...
Coach hitting?
Well, I went out to see about Anderson. This is, you know, Mike Anderson. And I spent the whole day with Bobby and his wife.
Good.
Went out and had dinner with him. He looks great.
Does he?
He's retired.
He's one of only six men. I sent out, of course, I can't go out to work and visit him. I'm young and have to stay home and earn money. But he's one of six men who have answered my letter.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's a high-class guy.
He's the kind that works.
He is really a nice fellow. He and his wife, they are real close friends of ours.
I see.
They want my wife to come out, too, you know, and we'd get together. And Bobby is, they got a nice home that he and his wife like to build it themselves. And it's fixed up for living, you know.
Oh, really?
And they got a nice farm that they lease out. He don't do any farming at all, but they got another place down on some river. It's a beautiful river. I forgot the name of it. They got a home on it.
Yeah.
And he goes down there and guides. He likes to guide these fishermen, you know.
Sure.
And he's doing just exactly what he loves, you know.
How did he come across in the ball field? And he retired when I became interested in baseball. He retired when I was 6 years old.
He coached
in the field.
He was a terrific second baseman.
And a good hitter.
Yeah. He and Gordon were from the same part of the country, and both of them were two top second basemen in baseball in their period. And both of them could hit a long ball, too.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I see. How did Doerr come across as a player? I mean, spitting the ginger? I mean, kind of a rah-rah type? Or was he quiet and just went
No, he just played his game. Yeah, he just... His disposition and everything kind of remind you of Bobby Richardson. Same type of guy as Bobby Richardson. Only
going.
Hit with more power. And, well, Richardson might have been a little faster.
Mm-hmm.
But they were both good hitters and good second basemen, you know, good offensive and defensive players, and high-class men, too.
Mm-hmm. Well,
Bobby and I got together. See, I got to know him real good when I was playing on the Red Sox. And then he was coaching Boston while I was coaching, and we'd, every time I went to Boston, he'd be at, I'd go to his place, and in Detroit, we'd be together all the time, you know.
I see.
So we've been good friends a long time.
Uh-huh. I think he set a record for consecutive errorless chances for second baseman during the Second mm-hmm. World War. It may have been broken since,
yeah.
I don't know.
Well, he quit. When Dick Williams got fired, he quit. Uh-huh. He liked Dick Williams a lot when he was up at the manager of Boston.
I see.
It just happened that I was in town when it happened.
Oh, really?
But Bobby told me he's quitting. He said, I already told him.
Do you want
to
box?
67 season
was
something. In fact, I saw the first two games of the World Series. I was with the Navy in Charleston and got basket leave for a couple of days and came up to see those
games.
67? Yeah, I saw Gibson beat Santiago in the first game and then Longboard threw that one later in the second game.
Yeah.
That was quite something.
Yes, it was.
Would you like to see a box score of the...
That's it, isn't it?
Well, almost. If you don't mind, I have another take, or I'd like to tape a few more.